If you can't afford a Harley, buy a Honda. Most people won't know. Hello, and welcome to Best Motorcycle Roads. I'm Tom.
And I'm Todd. Together, we have over 65 years of combined motorcycling experience and 35 years of planning and riding motorcycle trips. We're here to share with you everything we've learned over those years.
Our goal at Best Motorcycle Roads is simple. Make your next motorcycle trip the best it can be. We'll dive into technology, planning, packing, the routes, other tips, and everything in between.
From essential prep to unforgettable routes, we've got you covered.
Before we kickstart today's journey, we ask you to sign up for our BMR Rider Alerts. It's our way of keeping you in the loop with the latest rides, tips, and stories. We promise no spam, only the essentials to enhance your motorcycle adventures. Join the BMR crew today. We'll put a link in the show notes. This segment about motorcycle gear reviews and tips we call the toolkit. Let's talk literal toolkits. It's something that's really small and you can have with you. I know on a recent toolkit, I put all the tools in like a quart-sized Ziploc bag, and it's a really small piece that's really helpful at times. A few things that I think, and it's kind of best as you're like maintenance in your bike to kind of take note of which tools you're using. So then you can kind of, I don't know if you want to mark them with a marker, just so you know which ones are the ones that you're using. But, you know, you need some Allen wrenches, a few various wrench, usually metric wrenches anymore. If you have a bike that has a chain, which is probably rare, you'll need some chain lube just in case. And then just always having a few rags is nice, cleaners and cleaning solution if you want it. Especially what I've noticed there is cleaning the windshield at times, or just, it depends on how you're riding. But it is nice to have a rag, something dripping or dropping them. And then a tire pressure gauge. Mm-hmm. And then as far as like we said with the Allen wrenches and the metric wrenches, it might be only five different ones you need. You don't really need as many as you think. You don't need the whole toolbox full.
No, true. Yeah. And I like your idea. As you're working on your bike at home, maybe mark them, put a piece of tape on them and just write bike or essential bike.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Paint pen, with a purple or something, different color.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose a little bit of colored electrical tape, whatever works.
Yeah, that would work fine. But whatever works. I like that idea. Then you're not, like you said, taking half your toolbox with you.
And then a flashlight is usually a good idea as well. Sometimes you're getting out there at night and you just can't see in the day. So I need
a flashlight. Yeah, a headlamp.
Oh, yeah, even better. Yeah. So it's always good. Be prepared.
Yep. Agreed. Ride-wise is the section we focus on planning and safety tips. When riding with all the different types of bikes, some things just to be aware of, like on long rides, how comfortable is your seat?
Right.
Those really vary. Stock seats in general aren't very good. You may want to consider getting...
The old ones aren't so bad, but now it seems like I think they just force you into buying a seat.
They do. Yeah. Probably one of the most uncomfortable seats I had was on my Royal Star. I had a 1999 Yamaha Royal Star, and they called it the potato chip seat. It was shaped like a Pringles potato chip. And, man.
Not comfortable.
No, 40 miles. And, you just wanted to stand up at that point. It was awful. Some other things are like the fuel mileage, or the range,
right.
I should say.
Right,
not the mileage, the range. Before you're heading on a trip, make sure you kind of know in your group how far
test
everyone can go on a tank, right?
Well, and I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but it has to do with, like, if someone has that potato chip seat and they can only ride for 40 minutes, even though you want to keep riding harder and harder, it's no fun for them at all.
Yeah.
Like, so just, I think in the planning of it, I think that's maybe where
that's
the fuel range too. And it's good, fuel range, because each bike has a different size tank. Mm-hmm. In this rides, we know it can be two Goldwings, but the Gen 5 Goldwings have is it a 6 gallon tank like yours?
Six or six and a half.
Yeah. And the new Gen 6 bikes have like a 5.3, but the range is the same.
Yeah.
It really is important to think about that. And then knowing also a little bit when the weather is different, like, if you're riding into the wind, everyone's fuel mileage is going to be much worse. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get tugged down by that, and it's a difference.
Yeah, in highway speeds, too, if you're out on the interstate,
yep.
65, 70, 75 miles per hour, you might lose 10 miles per gallon.
And then, you know, two up, you know, again.
Or if you're on two up, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the wind will make a big difference on that, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. think about that. Your seat, your fuel range, when you're planning, how many bugs per mile can you handle?
I remember that because, honestly, though, like, I distinctly remember a time we were right in the evening, I had a bike that had no windshield. Like, it was like 6 inches tall. And we would stop, and like, Brad and Mike would be cleaning their windshield off, and I'm cleaning my helmet off. Because it was so bad. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's joking, but yeah, you'll eat a lot more bugs when your windshield's smaller. So.
Yeah, that's true. Or you don't have a windshield.
Yeah. Well, it's technically had one.
Yeah, right. I just wouldn't recommend it for a long trip not to have one.
The next segment is what we call the mile marker. It's our story segment. For the mile marker story today, we're going to talk about a suggestion made by Interceptor Moto. Heads up to Interceptor Moto. He said, how is it different taking rides and trips on the different types of bikes you had? So I think what we can do, Todd, is like walk through some of the different types of bike models, the differences between those and riding them. You know, and of course, each one of these is going to vary because there's in every type category, then there's a whole range of different bikes. But I thought we could start with like what I would call dual sport or adventure bike is another name for it. I've had a couple of V-Stroms. Those are nice bikes. They're usually kind of like a dual sport or adventure bike, kind of on off-road. One of the things that's funny when you talk about that is that the like really thing that makes the dual sport is the tires. And so like if you're on something that's comfortable on the street, it's probably not going to be very effective if you get off the road. But there are some options there. So when you think about that, you're thinking about the V-Strom, you're thinking about the Kawasaki Versus, which is a little smaller version, and then all the kind of GS, BMW bikes are kind of adventure bikes now. The trip that I remember most, and I don't think you went with us this time, but we went, we rode the south side of Lake Superior, actually, and so there's a lot of, it's interesting, they're technically sand roads, but they're really hard packed sand, but it's an interesting ride and kind of fun, you know, and then there's, you know, so we enjoyed that ride and we have some great pictures on the south side, which is a completely different look than when you're riding on the north side of Lake Superior. And that's pretty fun. But, you know, there's a lot of great rides across the U.S. Wisconsin has what they call the Trans-Wisconsin Trail. A lot of Jeeps and ADV bikes go on that. There's the Trans-America Trail too, which lots of gravels, lots of off-road private party land that's been, you know, asked, you know, people have got permission. So, you know, ADV riding is pretty cool. It's fun if you're into that sort of thing. A lot of times guys will camp when they're doing ADV riding. So it's just kind of like maybe one more step of outdoors than that. So that's what I think of a lot when I think of that adventure bike. So,
yeah. Cool.
Two standard bikes, I guess, that I used fairly decent rides on is the FZ1, which is kind of the it looks like a sport bike, but you're really sitting pretty square on that bike. First time we went around Lake Michigan, took that. I have no idea. It's not good for a guy my size to be riding that bike, period, let alone 1,000 miles.
I remember seeing photos of you laying flat on your back in a parking lot trying to recover from...
It was a three-day trip. That was day three. And I remember it was 10 o'clock in the morning. We stopped at a gas station. And both Brad and I were just laying on the concrete thinking, we're as far away from home as we can be, dang near. And so, yeah, you know, funny thing, I remember we got back on and then it wasn't that bad on the way from there on, but rode that bike. Also, my first time to the Tail Dragon was a standard with the original Honda Goldwing. Those were considered standards back then.
Yeah.
They technically didn't have factory bags yet. That was all aftermarket. So, standard's a great bike. It's comfortable. Feet are underneath your, you know, kind of straight underneath your seat. You know, they're probably, you know, the touring bikes are pretty comfortable. The standard bikes are probably like pretty nice bike to ride on, like universal. If you just had that one bike forever, maybe that'd be a good one to have. So,
yeah.
What about cruisers, Todd?
Yeah, I think one of my first long multi-day trips anyway, was on a cruiser. I had a, I think I mentioned already, the 99, Yamaha Royal Star. You know, and I had the highway pegs, I had a windshield, I had, you know, bags on it, locking bags on the sides. But I think I had replaced the seat before that first trip. Maybe not.
That's not quickly after.
Yeah. But the problem with that bike, I found for the trips that we went on, we were, you know, looking for twisty roads, of course. And that bike had a real heavy front end, a big front tire, and I was really fatigued riding that bike through the twisties because I don't know how to describe this, but it would feel like the front end would want to just flop over.
Uh-huh.
So I always felt like I was like really hanging on to the bike.
Dive.
Like, it wanted to dive. Yeah. And so you're almost like holding the handlebars from flopping into the corners like that. And so I just remember like the end of the day is like neck tired, shoulders tired, arms tired, just from so much work. It was just a lot of work. You know, the center of gravity was probably a little higher on that bike too, because it was a, you know, like a V4 engine on that. So that didn't help. But even though there was a lot of storage, the, you know, the good things were the bike had a lot of weight to it. So on the highway, I didn't get blown around by trucks.
And, yeah.
You know, that kind of wind, I felt very planted on the road. I felt very safe, but it was not the best in the twisties for sure.
Right.
And it didn't have like a lot of pickup, you know.
Right.
I mean, it was a little doggy, you know. But, it, you know, the heaviness I kind of enjoyed, you know.
Yeah.
It felt real planted on the road, but man, it was a lot of work.
Sure.
You know, on twisty days. So I also had a Honda Spirit. What'd they call that one? Well, it was like a 2001. It was
Was it a Shadow?
It might have been a Shadow Spirit.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was. You're right. That was a V-twin, but I didn't go on multi-day trips with that one, if I remember correctly. But the thing I didn't like about that one, I felt like I was on a John Deere tractor. It's like that. Yeah, it was a V-twin.
Yeah.
Not a lot of pickup. But I don't know. I just didn't. I did feel like I was down in the bike, though. It was a cruiser, swept back handlebars. You sat down low.
Yep.
You kind of lean back a little bit, feet out in front of you. So that was fine.
Yeah.
I didn't really care for the engine, I guess, the power on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. And then I think that would be the same. Most Harley Davidsons would fall in the cruisers. And similar, I think they're going to be a little heavier topside. And I know Chris says that when we're riding, he works it when we're going through really heavy twisties. Mm-hmm. We took a ride, like a day ride, with a fellow that had a nice trike, a Harley trike. And man, you really have to, work those.
I'll bet.
You know, they're just less leaning, so you're more manhandling.
True.
So I know that we were up, you know, we went up to like a La Crosse, La Crescent area. And he was like, oh, I'm ready for a break. And I was like, oh, I didn't think about that, you know. So so I know that, like you said, feels steady, feels beefy, nice in the bike feel, a little more work.
Yeah, for sure.
A little more work. Mm-hmm. And then I guess lastly is probably what you and I would consider the very best, it's just touring bikes. I think like the Indian, I think it's the Pursuit. You know, the Ultra Glide Harley, the Gonda Goldwing, those really fall into that touring bike.
Yeah, the BMW is what
some of the big BMW, the K1600, and even the big 12 GS1200 Adventure is a very wide, comfortable bike, even though it's upright. You know, so yeah, those I would call touring, and those are, I don't know. I mean, it's what you want on the road, big windshield. Big protection, heated everything's
a lot of power,
lots of power. You know, like we've been talking, I think, over the last few episodes, like Android Auto is starting to be, you know, a CarPlay, so you're having like phone connections, put the phone in the back, you get a nice screen. I mean, they're just becoming more advanced technologically as well. I think that's where you're seeing more technology show up on the touring bikes.
Built-in
as well.
GPS.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It's by far my favorite bike. I wish I would have bought one a long time ago. I mean, I didn't need all the other bikes. If I just started with that Goldwing, I tell you.
Yeah, a lot of people buy the cruisers to ride around. They're nimble, you're in town. They're all, some of them just a lot less bags and weights. And a lot of people get conscious about the tail bags. And mm-hmm. I always say, tail bag's great until I get to Menards or I get to the grocery store and I put 2 gallons of milk and a whole bunch of groceries and they're all inside. I mean, I don't know. I don't buzz around town, I guess, that much. So
true.
But so as far as that goes, I said I'd probably say I'd like the touring bike as well. So, but we pretty much just ride touring. We're not riding too much, like commuting or anything. I mean, if you're commuting, I'm sure you're going to want something that's a little tighter, easier to get around with, more like a standard.
Yep.
Yeah. The podcast can be found on bestmotorcycleroads.com/podcast. All the information you need will be there. But you can subscribe on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple, Pocket Casts, and YouTube.
This is the interactive segment. We will be looking for input from you. We want you to send us your questions and suggestions for roads, topics, and anything else you have on your mind. Today's roadside Q&A comes from Deb. Deb wants to know, do we ever worry about someone messing with our bikes at night when we're staying at hotels or motels, and what do we do to keep it safe?
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, Tom, I don't know, in 25 years, I haven't, or 30 years, I haven't really worried about that.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if it's maybe we're staying kind of in smaller towns, or we're staying on the outskirts of town. We're not, down in cities or anything like that. So, I've never really worried about it. I mean, I do take my GPS off the bike if it's on the handlebars. I'll take my phone in, of course.
And, yep.
Carry my helmet in because usually I'm recharging my headset or something. But, the steering, handlebars will lock and bags are locked. So I really don't worry about it too much. And even when we're stopped for a meal somewhere, I just set my helmet on the seat, throw my jacket over the top of that. And I don't worry about it too much. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Where we are hanging out is probably not the places to worry.
Yeah.
I know I left a helmet on a bike hoping someone would steal it a couple times because I didn't like it. I was really downtown Iowa City, and I'm thinking, great, this is perfect. Somebody will steal it, then I can get a new one. They didn't. I think if you're concerned about it, there's a couple things that's interesting. So a lot of times you're going to mount the GPSs with a RAM mount. Mm-hmm. And so there's either the RAM mount brand or there's some other brands that have it's a special
key or something. Key. Yeah.
I've ordered some. I like there's some smaller aluminum ones. RAM mounts are nice. They're big and bulky, but they're big and bulky. Mm-hmm. But I found some more recently that were smaller and you can kind of tighten them up. And then there's just like a little plastic key, which just is enough, I think, to keep it from that way that it can't take off mm-hmm. the GPS. Even on the Garmins, they sell a certain mount that you can, like, it locks on there. So you really have to break it to get it off.
Mm-hmm.
So at nighttime, if you want to take it in, you can pop it off. We may have talked about this in the past, but another good short-term solution for when you're, like, going to walk around in a town or if you're going to a restaurant, you can get one of the bike locks, like, for a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
They usually have a cable. And then you can string that through your helmet and you can string it through your jacket. And then if you have bags, you could string it through your bags if they're like, and then it just locks. And it's just about the visual prevention. If somebody wants it, they're stealing it, almost better to not make it too hard than to make it, feel difficult. There's locks that you can put on your disc brakes. So there's a little clamp. Those are popular in Europe. You can get also like low jack for bikes. I know that's a requirement to have a motorcycle in Europe. You have to have that cellular low jack on there. And then the last thing is something that we use for protection at night, but also, kind of out of sight, out of mind, throw the cover over the bike. Mm-hmm. And most people are not going to monkey around with getting in it if they can't see it. So if you throw a cover on, they've got full covers, half covers. And those cover up everything, and then they're not looking at it, and they're just,
Yeah, I throw a half cover on at night as well.
And,
like you said, if if it's more work to take the cover off, and then, yeah, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, so, bother, so. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. And the newer bikes with the fobs are getting easier, too, just from the whole bike perspective. You don't have to take the keys out. They're in your pocket. Mm. I find myself half time leaving the stinking phone on the bike by accident and going back out. I have to go back out and get it. So. Now it's time for the last mile. It's our way to close the episode with our reflections. Todd, if you want me to go first, I sure can. I've really enjoyed, you know, I know you guys make fun of me because I change bikes, you know, more than my underwear maybe, but I've enjoyed the different motorcycles. I actually even have like a little scooter that I sometimes ride around, like it's a Honda 600. They're a one speed, you know. I think it's fun just to experience all the different bikes. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I'd want to own one of them all because I don't think I would drive them that much, but it's been fun just learning about them, the different nuances of each one of them. Gosh, I mean, I don't, outside of really enjoying the long distance rides on the Goldwing, they're all fun to ride. I mean, they all just have a different thing. And, you know, we were joking about the windshield, but I mean, the longest to date still, I think, ride we've ever done, I took that old 78 Goldwing to the Tail of Dragon, and the windshield is about, you know, the size of a pie plate, you know, so it's just fun. And that kind of even reminds me of a story when we were there, and I may have told this before, but we met this old guy, and he had an old Kawasaki, you know, bike and a bubble windshield, and it was just fun. Like, that guy was just enjoying life, and I don't know, you know, it's a joke or not, but the worst day riding a motorcycle sometimes feels like the best day not. And so, for me, it's just enjoying them all, but, you know, it's fun.
Yeah. And, you know, hearing you say that reminded me, one of my favorite bikes that I ever had was, really my first bike was my 85 Honda Magna. That's the kind of bike I sort of learned on. I mean, I learned before that, but that was the first bike I owned, and it was just fast, super fast, you know, rip your head off, you know, when you're accelerating, and enjoyed that a whole bunch. And I had a, you know, a fairing on that, but, you know, I too have enjoyed riding different bikes and, you know, owning different bikes. And then, you know, through that experience and now having the Goldwing, I really, you know, appreciate how, you know, how that cruiser, you know, has really revolutionized things.
Oh, man.
Or not cruiser, sorry.
No.
Touring bike. And,
yeah.
You know, but it was probably a nice stepping stone to go through the smaller bikes and then work my way up to
And honestly, like the older you get, the more comforts feel better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, even after our most recent ride, I think my hands hurt for a couple of days, and I have these big comfy grips on there, you know, so it's fun, you know, it's awesome. So if this episode revved up your day, don't keep it to yourself. Please like, subscribe, and share it with your crew. We're all about the thrill of the ride and the bond it creates.
Keep the spirit of adventure alive, and remember, bikes, friends, and endless roads. The stories ride forever. Take care.